to part five of our 2013 Seahawks season rewatch on the Pedestrian Podcast. This week, we reached the climax, the crescendo of the 2013 season at Super Bowl 48. The Seahawks, after the duel against the 49ers 2 weeks prior, had Peyton Manning and one of the best NFL offenses in the league history waiting for them at MetLife Stadium in New Jersey. To help me go back through Super Bowl 48, I am joined by three voices, but now faces you can see who have joined me throughout this 2013 rewatch. Alan Kennedy, how are we, sir?
Not too bad, Stu, and yourself?
Not too bad. Jordan Ford, Saints and the Super Bowl. It's not a bad double salvo for you.
It's plain sailing, really, isn't it?
Yeah, and Andy Robinson, obviously the last voice everyone heard, and it's going to be the voice they hear, hopefully, again. How are we, sir?
I'm very good, thank you. Yeah, pleased to be here.
Yeah, so before we obviously dive in on the game, Andy, what were your pre-Super Bowl 48, not hopes or memories and thoughts? Obviously, you said you weren't too confident about it 2 weeks ago. Did that change in the 2 weeks in between this game and the title game?
Not really, and I'm normally Mr. Optimistic as far as Seahawks were concerned, but perhaps the fears about Super Bowl 40, you know, coming back again, and just didn't feel super confident going to the game at all for some reason.
No. Jordan?
Well, the Super Bowl hit me at a funny time, really, because I was at uni at the time and had an exam the following morning.
Oh.
And I had booked tickets to see Real Big Fish at the O2 in Bristol, which ended just before the kickoff. So I was more worried about getting to the Super Bowl party, the university Super Bowl party on time, and managing to wake up the next day, really.
Alan, were you confident walking in or heading in?
Yeah, I suppose I was somewhat confident. I said, my brother was a Broncos fan, and the other brother's an Eagles fan, so the family chat was fairly on point. Now, the 2 weeks leading up to it, we were looking into the whether we could get there or not, but decided against it in the end. But I think sitting on the couch with him one side and the other brother acting as the mediator in between us was probably the sensible option.
Yeah, there were a few UK guys. Dino was out there. Scott Whitelaw up in the Scottish Nacho was out there as well. Yeah, so we're going to do it a bit differently this week because obviously it's a strangely lopsided game in some facts. As I said, the game pass actually shows the coin toss, so it kind of explains how much they had to fill time on condensed in the game. But Jordan's told us where he was. Where were you watching the game from, Andy?
I was at home, same as the previous week or the previous fortnight ago. But I was the first time in my life I was living on my own in a detached house. I could make as much noise as I wanted. No fear of waking anyone up. It was great.
Yeah. So what, did your Sunday shop for supplies and then sat back and not so much enjoyed it, but you enjoyed it eventually, I guess?
Oh, no, pretty much. Yeah, definitely enjoyed it eventually, yeah. But, yeah, I had plenty of supplies in. I was, it was a good connection with the UK Seahawkers that night as well on the Facebook group with people putting up all of the pictures of what sort of things they were doing. I remember that being great. And really enjoyed it.
Yeah, so I watched it at the casino, which is attached to what's supposed to be a football ground in my hometown. So I watched it down there and with a Rams fan and a Patriots fan, who I also watched Super Bowl 49 with, but I don't really remember much from that one. So, yeah, but obviously the lead up to Super Bowl, this was kind of the week where Marshawn Lynch became a meme, wasn't it, Jordan? Which I'm not sure, was it this year or the year after where it was, I'm only here so I don't get fined? I can't really...
Oh, I have to admit, I don't know. I just associate any press conferences in with a lack of anything productive, really, in the talk. I don't know.
Alan, do you have any?
I think this was the one with Dion. Was this the one with Dion Sanders where he's like, "We got some dogs too"?
I think that is the one. Yeah, I mean, Super Bowl week when your team is involved is different to when you got Rob Gronkowski preening and pre-Eagles, isn't it?
Absolutely, yeah. Like when you're watching all the build-up, because I remember Sky they were putting it on every single show. They had the preview show every day then, and it was really ramping up, especially when you were supporting the team that were involved in it.
Yeah.
You were able to read in every single article you could find. And trying to get your mind off it, but not at the same time.
So obviously the game started with that the Kurt Russell video, obviously, which is still kind of a popular go-to for Seahawks fans needing their fix. And then as the game pass starts, as we say, we'll press play now, and it's the coin toss with Phil Simms and Joe Namath and the most over-the-top winter coat you're ever going to see, Andy.
Oh, yeah. As I always remember Pete Carroll's words, he said, "Oh, it looks so sweet." So that was a great way to describe it.
Seahawks, that's a massive old coin as well. There'll be quite a lot of those. It's like one of those World Cup ones, isn't it, when you get all the squads?
Worth a few bob now.
Yeah. Joe Namath goes early on the coin toss.
Saying that he always had the quick release.
Yep.
Maybe he should have been the Denver Broncos snapper.
So Seahawks, I'll comment. So the Broncos are going to get the ball first. The Seahawks have chose which way they're going to kick. And Peyton Manning against the Seahawks defense up first is how she boots it away. And it's a touch. Well, no, it's not a touchback. So we're going to pause it after the first play because obviously most people will understand why. So Seahawks stop them and chaos. The boy's in the back of the end zone and no Sean Marino downs it. Seahawks safety support.
It snapped over the head of Peyton Manning. A flag is down and the ball's out of the back of the end zone. It's a safety to start this game as Manning wasn't ready. You know, you can talk about it being a quote-unquote corporate crowd. This crowd is loud. They talk about the 12th man in Seattle. Look how this game starts.
Reaction to the first play of the game. I mean, it's my friend who's a Patriots fan, every year, he puts a bet on the first scoring play being a safety, which is like 85-1 every year. He was delighted that this happened. But, I mean, that's an incredible start, isn't it, Alan?
It was unreal. It was kind of unbelievable when you saw it, then see it happening. And you just saw the look in Peyton Manning's eye, and they going off with the helmet, looking down on the ground. And it was just great. And it was sort of the shouting and roaring was going on at home, yeah, in the couch at that stage.
Jordan, was what was better, real big fish or that start?
Oh, that start. I mean, I was actually at the Super Bowl party. I was watching it with a friend who's called Tom Cable, who actually just came back from Seattle. And I remember just telling him that I thought, you know, we're going to have a slow start, and it's the Seahawks way even this season when it seems to be our Super Bowl. And just looking at him with utter amazement, I kind of promised myself that with the exam the next day that I was going to limit myself to a drink each time we scored points. So I was like, well, I better get off to the bar then. But yeah, it was just unbelievable. What a start!
It's absolutely ridiculous. Andy, was this the first breath of relief that you lived in a detached house at this point?
Well, no, I'm going to sound like Mr. Pessimistic again, but it upsets me now that the referee threw a flag, and I'd assumed it was a flag for offside, so it wasn't going to count. So I think the flag was for some procedural error, something like that. I can't remember what it was for now. It was something stupid. You know, you could throw the flag at all.
I think because Peyton was moving, he wasn't set. So because he was moving forward, it was kind of like a false start type deal. But obviously, they didn't accept it. So
kept in his pocket.
he thought the coin was still in there, so he was just empty in the pocket. So we'll carry on, press play. The Seahawks take a 2-0 lead and 12 seconds in, which is obviously fitting and quite poetic for some Seahawks fans, isn't it, Jordan?
Yeah, I mean, we thought the Saints game was easy.
I mean, the ball goes, Peyton Manning doesn't get a hand on it, and he looks every inch of a near 40-year-old quarterback with spine issues trying to chase the ball down. So it's the fastest Super Bowl safety, which is a stat which kind of didn't need explaining. Golden Tate on the punt kickoff return. Obviously, this is the first game on this rewatch as well, guys, that Percy Harvin's on the Seahawks offense. Marshawn Lynch. But like, it's a massive thing for Pete Carroll is this, and here is Percy Harvin on the end around, gets 20, gets through, and just steps out of bounds. I mean,
Percy Harvin at the top of the screen and in motion. They get it to him. He gets a block on the edge. Welcome back, Percy Harvin. And he's out of bounds with a big play on second down.
Just the speed of it there. Like, you could just see the difference that he made brought to the offense.
Yeah.
And little we know what he was going to bring that day then as well.
Yeah. Jordan, like Alan said, it's just a different kind of level, wasn't he?
Oh, yeah. I mean, how gutting it was that when he seemed to be out for pretty much the whole season.
Yeah.
And just, yeah, it seemed like that extra little boost coming into the game, really.
Yeah.
We could finally unleash him.
And that throw from Wilson's a bit of big stage nerves, wasn't it? An overthrow when it was easier to overthrow, Andy.
I think so, yeah.
So the Seahawks were on the 30.
I don't know what happened there, but yeah. I know that the start from Percy Harvin was brilliant.
Yeah. Third nine, pass to Jermaine Kearse converts. First down just inside the red zone for the Seahawks. Marshall Lynch gets bottled up. We saw it from the 49ers, didn't we, Andy, that the defense just sold out to stop Marshall Lynch and hope that everything else will be enough. And early on, it's kind of working, isn't it?
Yeah.
Russell Wilson gets 4-5, so it's 3rd and 6. On the 14, Russell Wilson runs around a little bit, tries to get and goes out of bounds. And Pete is challenging the spot. But, I mean, it's not... Obviously, the Percy Harvin run was close to breaking it and probably breaking the Broncos' will ridiculously early, but it's a pretty steady start by that one overthrow, isn't it, Jordan?
Yeah, I mean, we've come right down the field really nice and quickly. Hit a bit of a brick wall there, but yeah. I mean, we look composed. Denver look all over the place, really.
Yeah. I was trying to remember how good their defense was looked upon. Obviously, they got Champ Bailey, they've got Von Miller, they've got Derek Wolf. I'm not too sure if their offense carried them or not. I couldn't really quite remember. So the Seahawks kicked the field goal. Hauschka, as is always the case back then, straight up and through the middle. 5-0 Seahawks lead, and Peyton Manning steps on back onto the field. So, but even despite the nice start, Alan, there was, as Andy said, it was kind of, you still kind of expected quite a lot from this Broncos offense, didn't you?
That was it, because they were scoring at will throughout the whole season, so you knew you could never rest up, and with the stars that they had on the offense at that time,
yeah.
Manning and his cadence, he was able to get points from nothing.
Yeah, and there's the Cam Chancellor. Well, it's not even a tackle, it's just more of a hit more than anything on Demaryius Thomas. Come over the middle and Cam lets him know he's there.
Number one defense trying to do that. Pass is caught, big hit. Cam Chancellor. He made the hit on Thomas. And a gain of just 2, and Demaryius Thomas got popped.
Cliff Avril almost gets to Peyton Manning, who gets the ball off to Julius Thomas, and the Broncos are punting. I mean, again, it's the same we saw on every rewatch game this week, this season, Jordan. The defense were just flying around, weren't they?
Yeah, I mean, even when the ball, the whistle's gone, people are trying to jump in and get involved. You said about Cam Chancellor. We've been sort of rewatching Rain City Redemption recently, and I've been telling Abby about Cam Chancellor's spine, and each time he jumps in, we kind of wince.
Yeah,
that's just another example, really.
Yeah, it was the imposing moment, wasn't it? That was kind of like, look, we're not going to back down, even despite the nonsense start, Andy.
Oh yeah, I mean that hit from Cam Chancellor, I still love it. I love watching it then. It looked even better then.
Yeah.
Knocking back 5 yards.
Yeah. So Seahawks get
really set the tone for the thing.
Yeah, Seahawks get the first down on a throw to Golden Tate. Michael Robinson then gets 4 or 5 yards. Second down, Marshall Lynch again, just they're just completely silent out and sending everyone to him. Awkward third down for the Seahawks, and they get it on Doug Baldwin, which Alan became a staple of the post 48 Seahawks, didn't it?
It really was. Like whenever it came to third down, all the commentators knew exactly where Wilson was going to go for, and more often than not, it always worked.
Yeah, another Marshall Lynch. Now the flea flicker we saw in that Atlanta game is back. Did not work this time, and Russell Wilson just throws it in the general vicinity of Luke Wilson, and it's another third down. But the Broncos' defense is making life awkward for the offense, especially number 3 and number 24, aren't they?
Oh. Yeah, I mean, but then how gutsy have we been so far? We've already thrown a challenge flag and done a flea flicker. Nice deep ball.
That's one of my favourite plays in the Super Bowl, that throw to Doug Baldwin. He just annihilates Champ Bailey, and just this. We saw it a few times in a few different games, but that's just need to do it on that and do it against one of the best players in the league at his position. Champ Bailey is just, it's incredible.
You could just see the confidence even that Baldwin got.
Yeah.
Just knew they kind of, it's almost as if, I know looking back, hindsight is 2020, but you can really see them that they were, we have it today, guys.
Yeah. Oh, Percy Harvin drops one. Incomplete pass. Close to being a backwards pass, which would be a fumble. So it's third and goal from the 9.5. The Broncos have challenged that, though. But yeah, it is kind of like they've, again, apart from that one throw, it's just the business as usual for the offense, wasn't it, Andy?
Oh, yeah, definitely. Yeah, I mean, Percy Harvin dropped that one. But one thing we didn't comment on a few moments ago, he caught a brilliant catch, very similar to that. In tight coverage, and don't know how we dropped that one, but thankfully, no penalty.
Yep, so it's an incomplete pass. The call stands, so it's the third down for the Seahawks, just inside the 10, just inside the 15. Third and goal from the 15, very Seahawky. And ball to Jermaine Kearse is broken up by the Broncos defender quite impressively. That was nearly another killer punch. So Hausch goes back on, kick the field goal up, and again. No dramas. 8-0 Seahawks lead. Blitz is having a dance in the back of the end zone. But again, it's not the full shebang with the touchdown, but getting points on the board is important when you've got the offense we were reportedly to be facing, Jordan.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, you just, at any moment you thought, right, this is when Denver are going to properly ramp it up. And, you know, was the they're kind of like how the Chiefs are right now. You just expect them to, at any point, just bulldoze it through.
Yeah. So another gang tackle on number 23. Peyton Manning steps up, overthrows Julius Thomas, and Cam Chancellor is there with an interception. His second or third big play. And just on their third, it's still in the first quarter, Jordan, Adam.
I know, it was the only play there. Like, Cam Chancellor, like, just complete overthrow there in. I almost was surprised that was just there right at his hip.
Now third down and 7. They're coming after Manning. Pass is too high and picked by Chancellor. Intercepted by Cam Chancellor with Julius Thomas, the intended target.
So the Seahawks already after another Percy Harvin in the round inside the 20, end of the first quarter, 8-0. The first play of the second quarter, Marshall Lynch with his longest win of the game so far, Andy.
Yeah, no, that was a good first down there. We needed that first down. I was getting anxious around this time that, you know, we perhaps should have had more points than 8.
Yeah, another Marshall Lynch, and again, they sat out and taken for a loss. Doug Baldwin on the quick throw gets 4 or 5. It's 3rd and 4 on the 5. Russell Wilson running out of the pocket, guns it to the back of the end zone, gone Tate. Is interfered with, so the Seahawks are going to have the ball on the half-yard line. And this is, again, there's no slowing down for the Seahawks offense. And again, Golden Tate has the weirdest walk in NFL history, Jordan.
I mean, yeah, his legs always seem to be in front of him by about a yard, don't they? And it is just like Aaron Lennon.
Seahawks don't get in on the 1 yard line. The first go, try again, and Marshall Lynch crawls his way through the smallest of gaps, and the Seahawks are out to a 15-0 lead, or 14-0 with a kick to come. Brenna Giacomini, who Marshall Lynch obviously called the Big Russian, is there hooting and hollering in Marshawn's ear. So yeah, the Seahawks kick the XP, and it's 15-0, 12 minutes left of the first half. And
Lynch again. He's in for the touchdown.
It's going uncomfortably wild, isn't it, Alan?
Yeah, no, it was good to just get a touchdown there at that stage, because with all the possession and pretty much all the playing all the game in Broncos territory, you just needed to get a touchdown just to settle everyone down, and because we didn't think this was going to last.
No, so they're driving again. Demaryius Thomas on back-to-back throws. He gets lit up this time by Byron Maxwell, who is helped. Bringing down by KJ and Bobby Wagner. A third and one. Moreno just about gets enough and gets four or five extra. So, I mean, they're having to scrap and claw every yard, didn't they, Andy?
Oh, yeah. That was the first down, I think, of the game.
I think so.
Some great tackling. It's knocking them back with every tackle.
Yeah. So, they're edging towards the halfway mark. Again, it's just a couple of yards and that's all she wrote, really. So another third and short for the Broncos. Manning not even bothering to step back and trying to get the ball out of his hands. Demaryius Thomas has to fight for every last millimetre of the yard they needed, and they get another first down. Like, already their offensive game plan has changed to just get the ball out as quick as humanly possible, haven't they? As I say that, they throw it deep downfield. Time in, Jordan.
Yeah, well, Peyton Manning just doesn't look settled at all, does he? And that's no. Peyton Manning. I mean, this isn't Eli Manning. This is Peyton Manning, and he doesn't look settled.
Maybe it's something with that building and that name. Maybe that's what it is. Oh.
Yeah.
But they're just. I mean, Peyton Manning is doing remarkably well to get the ball out. Again, he's pressured right up in his face. But the hits are coming from everyone and everywhere, aren't they, Alan?
Yeah, there's always like two or three lads in the backfield. Whenever he looks up, there's always a white jersey right there. And even if they're not close, and they're getting their hands up and blocking any lane he could possibly find.
Yeah.
Which is exactly what had to be done.
Yeah. Just about gets Nez Chancellor again, just laying an uncomfortable hit on the running back. So it's another first down for the Broncos. They are making their way, edging their way down the field on this drive. Peyton Manning just never sets his feet, then gets the ball out. And just wildly out of bounds, but there's a flag on the play. I mean, Peyton Manning just looks like bewildered, doesn't he, Andy?
Oh, yeah, it's been a real struggle for him, yeah. Connected with very few passes.
So they're backed up with tripping call, so it's first and 20, the quick pass to number 84, and again, Brandon Mebane on this gang tackle. Who, as was mentioned during the other rewatches, is somewhat unheralded and underappreciated, wasn't he, Jordan?
Oh, yeah. What would you give for him to be back with us now, you know?
Yeah, especially this year at the minute. So, yeah, it's third and 13. The ball's up in the air. Malcolm Smith collects it and then returns it the entire way, 40 or 50 yards. Third and 13 turns into a Seahawks pick six and a 21-0 lead.
Manning gets hit. Ball up for grabs. Picked off by Smith. Malcolm Smith. All alone. No flags. Touchdown, Seattle. Another takeaway. That's the second of this first half for the team that led the league. And Malcolm Smith, who was there at the right place at the right time to end the game against San Francisco in the championship game. And the deflection by Richard Sherman, was waiting and then took it 69 yards with a touchdown, and it's 22-0.
And what on earth is going on here, Alan?
I know, this was sort of dream territory now. You couldn't have scripted that any better as it was going, because it just looked like the Broncos were moving the ball and getting some yards, and then all of a sudden, just a gang tackle there on Manning, and yeah. straight into Malcolm Smith's hands.
Yeah, and do you want to try and explain that? His attempt at a dunk, Jordan?
yeah, it was, didn't go very well. I think at this point we were, I was just laughing, to be honest. It was just like watching some sort of comedy.
Yeah, and there's a fumble, but I think surely the Broncos
have got the ball.
Andy, what was your reaction to the pick six?
Andy. Oh, yes, winger. Going crazy by this time. It was just fantastic. Yeah, he just went. I was just going crazy by this time. It was like, you know, the footballer who's not expected to score. He just, I don't think he quite knew. He hadn't rehearsed the celebration. Oh, yeah, he got in the end zone. He didn't quite know what to do.
I mean, was Malcolm Smith even in the team before the playoffs? I couldn't even remember him playing before the playoffs.
He was a rotation guy because, like, obviously, Bruce Irvin, Obi Schofield as well. He wasn't, I mean, we'll get on to what happens in the game a bit later, but yeah, he wasn't who you'd expect. I mean, if you saw that ball in the air, you go, okay, it's just Bobby or KJ, not.
Exactly, yeah.
But yes, yeah, it's 3 minutes left of the first half, Bruce Irvin on the tackle. And again, there's no explosive plays at all coming. Another overthrow from. Peyton this time looking for Eric Decker, but it's stopping anything over the top just because the pass rush is just annihilating their O-line, aren't they, Alan?
Yeah, they're just swarming. Everyone, just white jerseys everywhere, wherever the ball is, be it in the backfield or not, they're just swarming to them.
Yeah. Peyton Manning again has a bit more time this time. Gets the ball away to Julius Thomas for another first down. And again, they are inside the Seahawks 30. Peyton Manning again gets rushed and then overthrows Julius Thomas, who is just blanketed by Earl Thomas, Sherman, and Cam. And he's just immediate. Walt Thurmond on the pass rush this time. Tony McDaniel with the tackle on Neshon Moreno. And it's third and four from the 21. There's a flag for something. But it's just like, even like the Seahawks kind of had that couple of plays at the start of their first drive where the nerves were palpable. But the Seahawks haven't let the Broncos get in any semblance of a groove, have they, Jordan?
No, and I'm, you know, our offense hasn't really done much, and we're 22-0 up. I mean, yeah. How crazy is that?
Yeah, I mean, I'd imagine what Marshall does, what, 20 yards on the ground, probably?
It's just dominant. Yeah. Absolutely dominant.
Yeah, and nearly another interception, fourth down. Walt Thurmond falls, isn't quite tall enough. So the Seahawks turn the ball over on downs and get the ball, and we'll play out the rest of the first half. So we'll pause the game again at halftime before, oh, what happens to start the second half. So yeah, the Seahawks lead 22-0 at half time. The first shutout since Super Bowl 35, where the Giants trailed Baltimore 10-0. But yeah, obviously the first. What was your feeling, Alan? In your was mediation needed at halftime?
No, it was more just trying to wake me up, making sure that this was actually happening, pinching myself at the same time. Because I was still nervous, even 22 points up, with all the talk during the 2 weeks leading up. They're like, Peyton Manning, they're going to put 30, 40 points on this team, and they could just racket points up at will whenever they wanted. So yeah. You could still not rest easy at this moment.
Yeah. Andy, how are you feeling at halftime? Still pessimistic?
Do you know, I was better than I was, but I was still nervous because, you know, I've seen the Seahawks give up so many leads in the past, even big leads I've seen them give up, so I was very much concerned. But certainly better than I felt at the start of the game, 22-0, Super Bowl, fantastic.
Yeah, Jordan?
To be honest, I think everything is a bit of a blur from now on. Although the Super Bowl halftime party that year was incredible. Probably in my opinion, one of the best Super Bowl parties ever.
Was it
Bruno Mars?
Yeah, it's Bruno Mars. Yeah, I was trying.
And,
yeah,
and the Chili's, and yeah, I think I was too busy giving it all that to the 49ers fans that were at the Super Bowl party to even think about the next half. It was just, yeah, cloud nine, really.
Yeah, I think I spent most of the halftime going, look, it's, I think similar to Alan, it's still Peyton Manning. It's only three scores. And then, obviously, we all know what come next. Yeah, so we're going to kick off the second half. The Broncos kicking the ball away to the Seattle Seahawks. Matt Prater with the kickoff. Kicks it short. And probably my favourite line of commentary from Joe Buck is, and on a hop to Percy Harvin.
And they just pop it up. Good kick by Prater on a hop. It's Harvin. But now he takes off. And Percy Harvin gets free. Percy Harvin inside the 30. He's going to go. Touchdown, Seattle.
It was worth the draft capital just on that, yeah. Really, wasn't it?
It's one of the best moments following the sport and following this team, isn't it, Alan?
Yeah, it was just it's completely unbelievable there. Like, even I'll always remember that moment where he's just in the end zone and just dragging the feet, and
yeah,
I was jumping up and down like crazy at that moment. I was like, oh god, this is actually happening. This is the moment.
Yeah, that is all she wrote, isn't it?
Oh, yeah, it's incredible. I've always liked Prater's the kicker, wasn't he? I think Prater thought he had a tackle and he just grasped him thin air. Great.
Yeah, I mean, I think at that point I stood up and one of my friend who's a Rams fan was coming out of the toilet, so I just turned around with my arms out like the Angel of the North, just staring him down like, there's nothing you can do now, that's it. It's incredible. The commentary on it is incredible. It's the American football of Martin Tyler and Aguero, I think. It's just the best. And the fact that, as you say, he dragged his feet is we got 9 points in the first 24 seconds of either half, didn't we? I mean, that's not a bad way to set the table for the second half, was it, Jordan?
I mean, how demoralising must it be for the Broncos? They've come out of their team talk thinking, right, we're going to sort this out. We're going to get some points up on them, and then they just watch Percy Harvin just breeze past them into the end zone. And what a statement.
Yeah, it's just, I mean, it's exactly the same second half on defense because the pass rush is all over. Cam Chancellor is running around like a madman on the secondary, and it's, again, every inch and millimeter and yard is incredibly tough going, isn't it, Andy?
Oh yeah, they're still hitting them really hard.
It's just absolutely
so good to watch. Every tackle they're just being hitting and driven to the ground.
Yeah, I mean, this is just ridiculous, isn't it, Alan?
Yeah, they're just completely imposing their will on them now at this stage. Everyone is they're all feeling themselves now at this stage, so they're just hunting for anything that's wearing orange at this stage.
Yeah, 29-0, just under 12 minutes left of the third quarter. Peyton Manning throwing the ball deep, and Richard Sherman had the better coverage, and Demaryius Thomas had a chance of catching it. And it's a Hail Mary every play, isn't it, when Peyton Manning? I mean, Peyton Manning's not exactly was known for this point for his, I mean, like Cam Chancellor again on Where's Walker this time, but everything is just kind of a Hail Mary and just, well, let's see what happens, let's hope for the best kind of thing, isn't it, Alan?
Yeah, it's just a matter of trying to see could they get points on the board and fight against it at all, and it just wasn't happening. This defense was not allowing them get anything at all.
No, so the Broncos in fact obviously put the ball away, go and take fair catches just inside the 10. So the Seahawks offense has the ball for the first time in the second half. 29-0 up. Marshawn Lynch breaks his longest run by a distance on the game, I guess about 16, 17 yards. And from being in the shadows, it's just one play, and then the tension that being under the goalpost could bring is alleviated immediately, Jordan.
I mean, I feel sorry for whoever's that side of the stadium, to be honest. And we're going the other way. They don't get to see much, do they?
Russell Wilson scampers for about 12 or 15, gets out, but there's a flag, so it's probably coming back. I mean, another underrated thing about this Super Bowl is those weird Ghostbuster-like jackets, Andy. Did you ever go and buy one? The silver?
No, I mean, that was completely.
You have to have something about you to pull one of those off, don't you? Quick pass to Golden Tate, who gets... I mean, the Broncos' defense is still making life difficult, aren't they?
Yeah, I think that's our first punt, I think, isn't it?
Yeah, I think so. John Ryan with a punt away. Out Decker on the punt return and just gets tackled by six or seven. Ricardo Lockett, Chris Maragos, Clint Gresham was on there as well. So Peyton Manning's got the ball back again. No, Sean Marino has nothing. I mean, Cam Chancellor is playing like a man possessed, Alan.
Yeah, Julius Thomas are picking the wrong person to try having a go at there because Cam was on a different level that night in February.
Yeah. It's ridiculous. Another first down for the Broncos, but only just Peyton Manning steps up. Demaryius Thomas with the catch. Byron Maxwell with the Mike Tyson punch and Malcolm Smith with the fumble.
First down, Denver. From the 44, Manning protected pass. Caught! Demaryius Thomas. Ball out! Picked up by Seattle. Recovered by Malcolm Smith after it was knocked out by Maxwell.
The makings of the longest play the Broncos got. And as we saw, Alan, in that Falcons game, they do something right and it goes horrendously wrong almost immediately.
Absolutely, yeah. Like just looking at the replay here, like, and seeing Maxwell, like, the only bit of the ball he can get and just go straight for it, and yeah. Demaryius Thomas looking all around, not going to find it there, unfortunately.
But that,
Malcolm sit then to hoover it up.
Yeah, so the Seahawks have the ball back, and I mean, the Broncos' offense must be wondering what the hell they did to deserve this, Jordan.
Yeah, I mean, they haven't been given a chance really. I mean, that fumble there just reminded me of when I was 8 or 9 trying to play rugby with some 12-year-olds who were much bigger than me and just dropping the ball and running away.
Sorry to bring back childhood memories. But again, like, the defense, Andy, is not, especially Marshall, and signing out him, and they're starting to get a bit chippy in those bright orange, aren't they, Andy?
I think now when we started really getting the passing game going, that hadn't been quite as much in the first half. and they couldn't stop us with the passing game now.
No, Russell Wilson to Ricardo Lockett over the middle. Jermaine Kearse evades two tackles and then in to the end zone. The local boy scores a Super Bowl touchdown and the Seahawks take a 35-0 lead. In the actual real life Super Bowl.
He's hit seven different receivers and now Kearse. What a catch! Touchdown! Unbelievable! Jermaine Kearse.
I mean, I can't remember this, but to be honest, I couldn't remember that. I mean, how great a play was that? I still, in a Super Bowl, Seahawks win, and I can't remember it because it was just such a crazy night.
I mean, I'm in the camp of not being a massive Jermaine Kearse fan, Alan, but he did have to make some weirdly prominent and important plays for the Seahawks, didn't he?
Absolutely, and that's not even his craziest catch in the Super Bowl. And he was able to beat off four tackles there to get into the end zone.
Yeah. It's just remarkable. So Monte Ball with a dump and Earl Thomas comes in and lights it up. It's a first and 20, another holding call. And again, this time it's KJ Wright, this time with a hit on Wes Welker, who, if I remember rightly, ran his mouth a little bit in the lead up to this game, being Wes Welker. Julius Thomas gets 11 and Cam and Walter Thurmond are there on the tackle. Third and 9, Peyton Manning immediately just has four white shirts around and Byron Maxwell gets the PI call against him. 36-0 to the Seahawks. Byron Maxwell's left at the Broncos sideline. 90 seconds left in the third quarter. I mean, I can't really remember much from this point of the game, to be quite honest. I can't remember. I think I was just kind of just counting down the minutes and seconds, Andy. Do you remember much of how you were at this point?
No, exactly that. I genuinely think 36-0 with 1 minute left in the third quarter. You can't lose, basically. So it's just a question of, you know, counting down the minutes and, you know, holding on to the ball enough time. They're not going to get the ball enough time to score.
Yeah.
And I didn't mind, you know, they're going down the field here, but, you know, it's all wasting time.
Yeah. So Wes Welker gets about 20 on Earl Thomas. I mean, the big thing here now is keeping the bagel, isn't it? That's the only thing. They obviously, we just saw it go, as I say that, but that's the only negative, and that's clutching at straws to find the negative on the Seahawks night so far, that they didn't maintain the shutout and the Broncos didn't go home with a big bagel on their Super Bowl record, Jordan.
I've got a worrying feeling that I might have sarcastically cheered that touchdown. Just memories coming back all of a sudden, being an absolute turd to everyone.
So it's 36-6, 2-point conversion to Wes Welker, 36-8 as the third quarter ends. I mean, there's not even a hint of an ironic celebration from the Broncos. So the fact you're doing that in Bristol is big, that is. Robert Turbin,
I'm not sure I'm allowed back at Riley's in Bristol, to be honest, thinking about it. My face might still be behind the bar.
So it's 36-8. Robert Turbin's in the game now. It's the Seahawks start their next drive at the start of the fourth quarter. Robert Turbin gets about 20 minutes, called back on a hold. Zach Miller over the top for 5 or 6 yards, second down. I mean, apart from Marshawn, it's still all the main players on the offense, isn't it?
Yeah, everyone is still there, and everyone just wants to get their moment now getting that end zone with the ball so that they can.
Yeah, Percy Harvin running back of that one, runs across and gets the ball to Doug Baldwin. Another first down. The Seahawks are back inside the Broncos 40, over the middle to Jermaine Kearse again. And then
that's what I remember is that we weren't even, you know, running the clock. We were still throwing the ball.
Doug Baldwin cuts inside, beats 3, beats 4, beats 5, and dives for the end zone. And the Seahawks, because of course they do, score another touchdown. And it's Doug Baldwin mouthing off about the people who are mouthing off.
Here's Baldwin, smaller target, and he ducks in for the touchdown. I don't know what Denver's doing. You know, they're playing so soft, and I understand it if it's a close ball game, but this game, they need to be taking chances and trying to create a takeaway. But for all practical purposes, this game is over. Meanwhile, the tackling.
Yeah.
It's been just awful for the Denver Broncos.
I thought they were done throwing the ball about 4 passing attempts ago, and they just kept throwing it on that drive and picked them apart.
And the Seahawks have put 42 points, Jordan, up on the best team the AFC had in 2013.
Yeah, I wonder whether Doug Baldwin had a smile there. Be quite nice to rewind and zoom in, see whether he was actually smiling.
I'm almost certain he was. He was also, as I say, mouthing off at Chris Carter, which is Chris Carter, something he deserves every day, really. Because, yeah, I mean, they did shut everybody up on this. And also, this might have been the run where the name of this podcast came from as well. So, cheers for that, Jordan. Doug, even. Sherman. Demaryius, I mean, everything's going to Demaryius Thomas, so it's kind of just signing out on him. The pass rush is again in Peyton Manning's face. And it looks like a holding call is coming against Walt Thurman on Demaryius Thomas. I mean, this is just the longest victory lap in Super Bowl history, isn't it, Alan?
Yeah, you're just waiting for the 3-0s to come up there on the scoreboard so you could just properly celebrate at this stage. Like, everyone, the champagne was opened. It was only a matter of hearing, seeing the Vince Lombardi trophy be led up onto the field. Like,
yeah, I mean, there's still 11 minutes of the game left.
I think at this stage, everyone's just talking about who's going to get Super Bowl MVP.
Yeah, which is I mean, obviously, for those who may not know, Malcolm Smith won it for his pick six, a few tackles, and obviously had the fumble recovery. But rewatching this, it kind of, I mean, that night I had two bets on MVP, Percy Harvin and the man I think who probably should have won it, and Cam Chancellor, Jordan. I mean, he is everywhere.
He's been on fire, absolute fire. You know, it's been really sad to see the team of the decades where he's been... that's been touted, where he's been completely forgotten about. When you look at him this season, he's been incredible.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, inception, you have the tone setter hit on Demaryius Thomas. He's just flew to the ball at every opportunity. Any time the ball has got through the defensive line, Cam Chance has been there, hasn't he? And he definitely deserved the MVP and probably should have won it, shouldn't he, Andy?
Oh, yeah, it's been surprising watching this again. I've not watched it again for a good few years now, and he's just on every play. He's hitting so hard.
Yeah.
And he's everywhere.
Yeah. Brilliant. Alan, Cam for MVP for Super Bowl, if we're going to hindsight and give the award in hindsight, Alan?
Yeah, definitely. I think Cam probably should have gotten it. Like, I know Smith was just on the end of all those plays, and I assume he was in the right place at the right time for them. But I think just the hits that Cam had that just laid the foundations for this win was deserving enough.
Yeah,
and the leader that he was for that defense.
Yeah, I mean, if you're ever going to award an MVP on setting a tone, I mean, Cam Chancellor is the biggest lock for that in history, but obviously it did go to Malcolm Smith, who then kind of turned that into a pretty tasty contract a year or so further on down the line when he went to the 49ers. I think he's now retired. Russell Wilson overthrows Robert Turbin on fourth down, so the Broncos are going to get the ball back, and there's the Lombardi Trophy making its way to the presentation stage, I guess. 5 minutes left of the game. The Seahawks have still got all their big hitters in on defense, still laying hits, still imposing their will, and Peyton Manning still looks like he just wants to go home, doesn't he, Jordan?
Yeah, he wants to go back home, definitely. Look at him.
3rd and 11. Peyton Manning is just rushed by all sides and just out of the reach of Demaryius Thomas. So it's 4th and 11. And they're still in another fumble for Peyton Manning. Clinton McDonald falls on it, possibly. No. Yeah, it's the Seahawks ball no matter what because it's 4th down. And Tavares, no, Russell Wilson is still in. Robert Turbin gets a couple of yards. Just under 4 minutes left. I mean, this is somewhat unnecessary. They didn't need to show this much. Robert Turbin. Tyrese Jackson's now in. As I said a couple of weeks ago, he's the only quarterback in the last 20-odd years, the backup quarterback, to play in a Super Bowl. It's just, I mean, this is probably when they were prepping the Gatorade, wasn't it, Andy?
I think so. I think it was. I'll take this all day long. You know, you used to having tight games in the NFL, in the Seahawks, but I'll take this all day.
Yeah, so just under a minute left. Probably the last play of the game, and Malcolm Smith is there in the hole to make a tackle. Darrell Bevell.
And that should be it. Dominant performance across the board. Pete Carroll, the Seattle Seahawks, winding their way, 15 seconds away officially, and the first world championship in franchise history. As they win it here at MetLife Stadium, 43-8, the Seahawks are world champs.
Pete Carroll is soaked again.
He had about 2 hours to get his waterproofs on there, get ready for it.
Yeah, all the Seahawks, Cam and Earl and Bobby won't go straight up to Peyton Manning and shake his hand. The Seahawks have won Super Bowl 43-8. The first Super Bowl in Seahawks franchise history. The first Super Bowl for pretty much everybody involved. Russell Wilson wins the Super Bowl in his second year, which obviously is something we saw Patrick Mahomes do, well, it feels like 17 years ago at this point, but back in February, it was quite a feat when really they had a legitimate shout to go for two for two, didn't they? Because they had the Atlanta heartbreak, but they were on course for it back then as well, weren't they, Alan?
Yeah, definitely. Like, when, I suppose probably the looking back on it, that loss to Atlanta the year before really drove them on and made them the better team for 2013. And they were just nothing was going to get in their way in the 2 weeks leading up to it. Like, they were even able to have a fight the night before the Super Bowl and still put out a performance like that.
Yeah.
It shows how what a great team they were all together.
Yeah, it's incredible. Paul Allen and Pete McLaughlin, Michael Strahan, Russell Wilson, all the guys are on the stage, and Roger Goodell. Paul Allen is being awarded the trophy.
It's such an amazing feeling to be able to take the Lombardi Trophy back to Seattle, the people of the Northwest, and the 12th man has supported us in such an amazing way all year. But I have to give so much credit to Pete Carroll and John Snyder for putting this team together. The preparation you saw today on the field was amazing, and the work by all the players to get here, just amazing, amazing performances today. Just great.
Well, congrats.
Well, this is an amazing team. These guys started a long time ago. It took 4 years to get to this point. But they've never taken a step sideways or backwards from going forward to make this team the way it is now. I'm so proud to be part of them, John, all of the work that John has done to put this thing together. But these guys right here would not take anything but a win in this ball game. They did never think that anything else was going
to
happen.
Do you remember much from this point of the night, Jordan, or were you just trying to run back home to try and get an hour's sleep before you had lecture?
I remember kind of falling to my knees at one point and going, we're going to win the Super Bowl. and just thinking this isn't real. I don't know what I was doing at this point. I mean, having, you know, picked the Seahawks as my team of choice a couple of years prior because I thought that they were never going to win anything, just like Spurs, who is my, you know, my football team, and thought that they were quite similar in that respect. To actually win something just a few years into it, into being a Seahawks fan, it was just unbelievable, really. Just didn't really expect it at all.
Yeah. Andy, do you remember much from this point? Were you still up watching?
Yeah, no, I do. I remember just savouring every single second of this. I just absolutely loved it. Couldn't get enough of it. I just tried to literally just drink it in and savour it. It was brilliant.
Yeah. Alan?
Oh, yeah. This was just a biggest smile on my face you could ever have, because all that you're saying, you never thought this moment was going to happen, and here it was here, and you just wanted to savour every single moment of it. I suppose it probably would have been half four in the morning over here, and not a blink of sleep was going to happen after that. didn't want the day to end at all.
Yeah, Pete Carroll, as graphic you showed, was the third coach ever to win both national title at college and the Super Bowl after Jimmy Johnson and Barry Switzer. I mean, this is kind of Doug Baldwin looking less than angry. There's a smile, Jordan. You want to see Doug Baldwin smile? There's a smile. With Doug Baldwin recording every minute of it. But there's so many different aspects of that team. It's kind of, it's unrepeatable, isn't it? Kind of like, we didn't possibly underappreciate them. And it's kind of just this, that team and that assembly of just unbelievable talent is never going to be replicated, is it? Jordan,
you think of the three previous drafts, just building up that team from the bottom up, really. Since Pete Carroll came in charge, I think it was just huge changes to the personnel, and I mean, just so many hits, really. All those players, they're not just amazing players, but they each had their personality that you really knew who they were and what they were about.
Yeah.
It's a special group of players, really, wasn't it?
Yeah, I mean, the appreciation is kind of mainly done now in hindsight, Alan, with this squad of players, isn't it? Because obviously, you just look at the names that kept popping up all through this rewatch, and it's quite remarkable. And as I said, the appreciation's kind of come after the fact, isn't it, Alan?
It really is. Like, defense was just one of the best in NFL history. Just the absolute ballers that they had. They were swarming to the ball at every moment and all over the backfield, and just the depth that they had. And this would really be going down as one of the best in history up there with all the greats.
Yeah. And they just appreciating this team was, did we miss out on that a bit?
I think so, yeah. I really do think so. Yeah, we. I think that season, before this, I think we never really realised how good they were.
Yeah.
And I think really, obviously, this underlined that massively.
I think seeing Malcolm Smith on that stage was kind of my signal to possibly go home, because I think I was watching it, hoping, expecting that Percy and Cam would be the final person that Strahan spoke to. But Malcolm Smith wins MVP, the third linebacker to win the Super Bowl MVP, and that is all she wrote. So yeah, that was fun to relive, wasn't it, Andy?
Oh yeah, it's great. I said I've not watched the whole game for, you know, 4 or 5 years, I don't think. So that's been great doing that.
Jordan?
Great to see what happened after the Percy Harvin kickoff reception, to be honest. It just brings back so many great memories. It's just a joy to behold that, really. If you're ever in a situation where you're feeling really low or something's gone really bad, just put that on for 40 minutes and just sit there and smile. You can't do anything better, really, can you?
No. Alan?
Yeah, definitely. As Jordan said there, you couldn't watch it those 45 minutes without a smile on your face. It's unbelievable still watching it back. And
yeah, like there's little things you kind of forget happen, don't you? You kind of forget the Byron Maxwell fumble and everything else. It's just a quite remarkable end to the season. Obviously, then the Seahawks went off to the White House to meet Barack Obama and started off the 2014 season looking well set to repeat. So yeah, massive thanks, Alan, Jordan, and Andy for jumping on, not just tonight and doing this, but earlier on in the rewatch. I hope you've enjoyed it. Anyone who's listened to all 4 or 5 parts, I hope you've enjoyed them too. We're going to try and keep doing and find the reasons to do these rewatches on different games over the coming weeks, days, months, and years, because what else is there to do at the minute, to be honest? But yeah, until next time, massive thanks, guys.
Thank you, Stu.
Thanks, Stu. Keep up the good work.
I always appreciate your time. Until next time, though, this has been the Pedestrian Podcast.
We take this trophy back, and everybody here knows, all our players know, we take this trophy back to the 12th man. An unbelievable spirit, unbelievable group. It's their trophy.
All right. Well, let's get your quarterback up here.